So our reading this morning is from the Reverend Elizabeth Nugan. Spirit, I would really rather not learn this. Didn't think I needed to. I thought someone else would do it. Thought a leader was coming to do it. Thought the young people could do it. Or the elders could do it. Or the professionals. I don't want to learn it. Because it means letting go of something I hold dear. Letting go of being someone who knows the answers. Letting go of being someone who doesn't know. Letting go of the way I see the world. Letting go of how I might have to change. Letting go of certainty, of logic, of facts, of control. Of the myth that you can live on this earth and do no harm. Or the myth that I can't learn anything new. Help me to learn it, please. And then help me to live what I have learned and to do right by the gift of being taught. So I was called to be a Unitarian Universalist minister largely because I love ritual. And I love the way faith traditions honor each week with a service and honor the year as it circles. And we have water communion and Day of the Dead and Thanksgiving and Christmas and Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Easter and flower communion and the bridging of our youth. I like the sameness of it. I like the habit. I love that it repeats over and over. And the reason for that is I don't really like change. I like habit. I like comfortableness. Change, you know, makes you learn new things. It makes you uncomfortable. It makes you interact with new people and new ways of seeing and doing things. And I just really prefer habit and sameness. So I became a minister because I loved all that ritual and stuff. And it was a really huge cosmic joke because I learned almost immediately that ministry is all about change. It's almost entirely about change. My ministry to you and the world and your ministry to each other and to the world is all about transformation. Transformation of ourselves and transforming the world into our vision of the beloved community. Life in faith communities, transformation ranges from very small transformations, just like coming here on Sunday after a really hard week and just feeling a little more hope or a little more energy than you had before. Or really large transformations where you make decisions or commitments where how you act and are in the world is different after you made that commitment than before you made the commitment. Our lives are constant transformations of all kinds of small, medium, and large. We transform as we live, as we experience grace, as we take new paths. Life, a rich, good, full life, calls us to transform often. As we stretch and grow and live out all the possibilities, as the poet says, for our one wild and precious life. We are all human. We are born with a particular body, with a particular temperament, with neurons that fire in particular ways, and all of that makes life easier for us or more difficult. We develop and grow in childhood. We come into this world as babies yearning for perfect love. And we have human parents, and they can never give us perfect love. And you add to that all of the people who, and some of us, who've experienced abuse and neglect, bullying and shaming, horrible economic conditions and dangerous neighborhoods. And people often come through childhood with brokenness and pain. Adult life hurts and breaks us as well. We find ourselves in a war. We lose those we love. We are violated. We fail. We are rejected. We are born with societies that feed us racism, sexism, and classism with our mother's milk. All the history, all the systems, all the traditions, all the practices that say some kinds of people are better than other kinds of people become part of our bones, and they become the way we experience the world and ourselves. It is hard for those with damaged hearts and spirits to love well and to love purely. Broken people defend their hearts and spirits and souls, sometimes in very small ways and sometimes in large ways. It is so easy to be afraid. Fear can hold us prisoners, making the truth of our own strength and the ways that we are foundational and important parts of the web of life invisible to us. And transformation is the process of walking through that fear and finding our strengths and gifts and experiencing the world and ourselves in new ways. When we transform, we are able to act and be in the world in a different way than we were before. But how does transformation happen? During a lifetime of work on mythology, Joseph Campbell identified a reoccurring story structure across the world's cultures. He called it the hero's journey. The hero's journey is the story of human transformation. The hero experiences a fundamental change in understanding life, its purpose and meaning, and his or her place in it. And it makes the hero a more compassionate, fully alive person. We all know the hero's journey. We have seen and heard it hundreds of times. It is Frodo Baggins, that comfortable hobbit, thrust one ordinary day into the epic battle of good and evil. It is Odysseus, who through bad luck and bad judgment kept trying to get home from the Trojan Wars for many years. And Dorothy, who wakes to find herself in Oz. And Luke Skywalker, who finds a strange droid on his doorstep. Heroes are usually transformed by journeys they didn't plan to take. These journeys land them in situations where they discover a great fear or danger and overcome it. Anyone can, and most of us do, embark upon the hero's journey at various times in our lives. The UU minister, Reverend Bill Hauff, in his book Infinity in Your Hand, relates the story of penguins told by Eknath Eshwaran. Penguins build nests on the craggy rocks at cliff edges that fall toward the Antarctic Sea. When the babies hatch, the parents shelter their young, protecting them and bringing them food so they are in no danger from those sheer cliffs or in the cold. The babies eat and they sleep and they snuggle, and it's just a great life. And then one day, when the babies begin to molt, the parents walk out. That's right, they just leave. They walk out in mass like an unannounced strike. And I imagine we've all had that moment at least once in our lives, the moment when everything that we understood and expected about life simply wasn't true anymore. Maybe it was a divorce, or a death, or a diagnosis, or an accident, or a lost job. Or maybe it was something we wanted, like a baby, or a retirement, or a different job, but we're thrust into a completely new reality than what we had before. We were just having our lives, like the baby penguins, expecting the day to roll out like every other day. We had expectations, we had knowledge, we had skills, attitude, ways of being that served us very well. We had ideas about life and meaning and success that seemed to us to be true. And suddenly what we knew and we understood simply wasn't true anymore. Joseph Campbell labels this moment the call to the journey. The call happens first. Frodo is called by visitors, Bambi penguins by their parents' abandonment, Dorothy by waking, and Jonah by God. Being called is a shock. You don't expect these visitors, abandonment, waking up in some weird world, or the voice of God. You don't expect the pink slip to watch a loved one die during a traffic accident, or to be experiencing the symptoms of Alzheimer's. Since the call is such a shock and usually unwanted, the heroes in stories and those of us in real life typically refuse the call. We simply say no, or we refuse to acknowledge that it is even happening. Or we bargain and try to make a deal so whatever is happening will just stop happening. According to Swarren, the baby penguins appeared shocked and dazed. Then they huddled in their nests and waited for their parents to return. Clearly, there had been a very huge mistake here. Jonah ran for the nearest ship sailing away from Nineveh. Luke told Obi-Wan Kenobi that he couldn't leave his aunt or uncle. But in this story and in life, the situation does not change, or it gets worse. The baby chicks began to get hungry. The winds endangered Jonah's ship and all the people on it. The last day of work arrives. The symptoms of dementia persist. Our child will not return our calls. Dorothy is stuck in Oz. Luke's aunt and uncle are dead. And so the journey begins. Everything is new. We do not know our way. We do not know where to go. We don't know how to manage. We don't know the rules. So we step out into this new world, grasping at whatever we can find. We are tested and challenged. And if we do well, we find some new friends and allies and maybe even a mentor. We make mistakes. We fail some tests. We bungle some of the challenges. But sometimes we succeed and we learn. We gain traction in this new world. On this day three, some of the penguins got out of their nests and began to look around. One penguin, who was Swarren called Peter, peers over the cliff edge. Then he hurries back and informs the others that the cliff is very dangerous. His friends stay away after that, and they all continue to search for whatever they could possibly find in the craggy rocks. Dorothy begins down the yellow brick road. Luke takes off with Obi-Wan and Han Solo. We go to the doctor again. We apply for more jobs. We read. We ask questions. We meet new people, and we make new friends. We are rejected. We are given hope. We learn. At last, however, the hero comes to the entrance of the innermost cave. In the cave is the worst danger. It is what we fear the most. It is what the hero has been dreading from the beginning, whether he or she knew it or not. The penguins' hunger overwhelms them. The Wicked Witch of the West kidnaps Dorothy and her friends. The Death Star sucks Luke and his comrades inside. The notice that unemployment is running out comes in the mail. The doctor says, hospice involvement is appropriate now. Then the inevitable happens. We enter the cave. It is a dark moment. The descent into the underworld. the fight to the death. We must face a great fear, and we are confident that it will kill us. And it almost does. It nearly almost does. But something else happens. We don't let it kill us. Our will to live and our gifts and strengths come to our aid. We live. We stand up to fear and danger, and we survive. That is the moment of transformation. When the baby penguins are near starvation, Peter makes his way slowly back to the cliff. He is still clearly afraid, but anything is better than starvation. He closes his eyes, then with one brave leap, he hurdles himself into the air and disappears beneath the waves. Dorothy is paralyzed as the witch moves closer to the scarecrow with a lighted match. Desperate to do something, anything, she grabs a pail of water and throws it on the witch. Jonah tells the sailors to throw him overboard. We surrender our physical care to nurses and family. We ask for help. This is what the hero's journey tells us is required. We must face the great fear, knowing it might kill us. And when we don't let it, we transform. Like the phoenix who dies and rises from the ashes, Peter disappears beneath the waves. Then he bobs up, bright-eyed, with a slightly sheepish face. He churns with his wings and waggles his tail furiously. Within minutes, he is swinging gracefully through the waves, at home at last. Jonah finally did what God asked, and God disappointed him. This was Jonah's great fear, to be made a fool of in the streets of Nineveh. But from God he learned the lesson of compassion. Dorothy discovers her own power. Luke learns to trust himself and the future. Maybe we learn that family and friends matter more than possessions or prestige or job titles. Or we discover that receiving help is not a weakness, but a deeper way to experience love. Finally, the hero goes home, returning with his or her new insights and gifts from the journey. Peter squawks from the water up to his friends, "Come on down! This is what we were born for." Dorothy clicks her ruby slippers 3 times and returns to Auntie Em and can tell her she loves her. Luke was not able to save his aunt and uncle, but he saved his sister and his friends with the plans for the Death Star. And maybe we allow our family to feel our love in a new way. Perhaps we are able to forgive. The hero's journey looks so straightforward on the big screen, or when we look back on our own lives and see that indeed the transformation in our lives did follow this pattern. But what about actually living the hero's journey? Well, that is a messy thing. And it doesn't feel linear at all, like you're going anywhere. It feels like a lot of confusion and a lot of pain and a lot of wondering whether you're doing things right. And do we always transform every time we take one of these journeys? No, we don't always. The first step of the hero's journey is the call and our answer to that call. In movies and in many times in our lives, we are called and the answer cannot be no. We are breaking up or we are ill and we have to embark on that journey. In real life, though, we often pretend we did not hear the call, or we do have the option to say no. Maybe the call is an invitation or a compelling desire to try something new. Maybe it is the death of another innocent black man by police officers, or another incident of crazy, horrible weather that calls us to activism. We can refuse the call, though. We can stay home. We can be comfortable. We can follow our routines and habits. Or in other cases, we can say yes to the call, but abandon it as soon as we get out on that journey. And the call, after the call, there is this unknown world where we don't know what to do. We don't know what the rules are. We can be uncomfortable and miserable, and we can feel stupid. All sorts of demons can rise up in us and tell us how imperfect we are and how unworthy and how incapable, how we will always fail, how our broken parts may move from a dull ache to serious pain, reminding us it is a bad idea to trust. It makes us lash out, want to run or freeze. If the journey is not absolutely required by life circumstances, it can be so easy to just run back to the safety and comfort of our old ways of being and acting. If we do stay on the journey, though, at some point we will reach the darkest cave that holds the greatest fear and the greatest danger. We may know what ours will be when we get there, or sometimes it's a surprise. Maybe it is financial or physical pain or loss of what we have loved. Or maybe it is, as Nugent said in this morning's poem, letting go of being someone who knows the answers. Letting go of being someone who doesn't know. Letting go of the way I see the world. Letting go of how I might have to change. Letting go of certainty, of logic, of facts, of control. In the cave, we have to stand up to the fear and the danger. We have to let go of treasured ways of being. In movies and in books, the hero always gets through the danger and always transforms in the way that is necessary for them to live a deeper, richer life. But real life isn't always like this. Whether the journey into the new world was demanded by our circumstances or whether we voluntarily took it, we can collapse in the cave. We can retreat into anger, into despair, self-righteousness, regret, cynicism. You all know the list. We can lose the battle, and we cannot transform in a way that teaches us to use our gifts and gives us more compassion and kindness. We can just reinforce those hurt and broken selves and all of our old patterns of being. The hero's journey is actually very dangerous, and it doesn't always go well. But it can go well. It does go well. It often does. Which brings us back to the work of ministry and of faith communities like this one. One reason that we come together week after week is to strengthen ourselves for those inevitable hero's journeys that we will and that we can take. We remind each other to say yes to invitational calls, because they offer us such hope for the transformation we seek in ourselves and that we seek in the world. And we support each other on our journeys. We remind each other that we do have the courage and the ability to face our fears and the darkest dangers of those caves. And after the battles, we can celebrate together, or we can patch each other up for the next round. A faith community is a place where we come together to do holy work, life-giving work, life-changing work. And I just ask of all of us that we do it with the utmost kindness and compassion for each other and for ourselves. Amen. So we have some time for questions or discussions, if anyone would like.
Oh, I just want to thank you for giving such a fantastic sermon this morning and affirming that WOOF is a place where we can support each other in our hero journey.
I was reminded of, I was a new member of the UU Church in Baton Rouge, brand new, like 2 months, when my husband committed suicide. And that congregation, I felt like somebody was holding me in the palms of their hands. Even it's been 25 years and I'm still teary when I think of how important that community was to me. It was a fabulous experience, and that's what we're here for each other.
You told me the sermon would resonate with me, and it did. Thank you very much.
A lot of the focus of this sermon seemed to be on the idea of transformation as a space of growth, as a space of positive change. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on gaining an ability to recognize when that transformation is taking you into a darker place or taking you into a place where that change is somewhere you don't want to be, or that change is turning you into someone you don't want to be. What are your thoughts on that?
So I've thought a lot about that because I realized that about this sermon, which is where I talked about how it could go wrong. And I think if you're becoming a less kind person, if you're becoming less kind to yourself and less kind to people in the world, I think if you're just having a lot of negative things that get stuck, I mean, I think that negative emotion is going to come up during a hero's journey because, you know, it's uncomfortable and, you know, we're going to have negative emotions about that. But I think if you end up getting really, really stuck there, I think about transformations that don't go well. You know, people who go to war and have very extremely traumatic experiences where they've transformed in a way that is not working for their lives. And I think that that you can tell if the transformation has made you more life-giving, has made you kinder and more compassionate and a more positive presence in the world, or if you're kind of stuck in places where you're angry all the time, really negative, you know, lash out at people. And I think it's sometimes a little bit difficult because during the journey we're going to do that. So I think it really has to focus on when you realize that you're pretty stuck there, that you're not sort of moving into a new place at all, that you've been hanging out there for a long time. So those were my insights when I was working on this about how you tell, because I did think about that a lot.
Following up on that, I think that's a great thing to think about, because sometimes we get stuck in a decision we've made thinking, well, we've made it, we should probably keep going, and wondering or realizing when that decision is wrong and we need to change course. But the other thing I've realized just lately too is sometimes a decision or a change that was made at a specific point in time in my life, looking now at that decision, I'm realizing it's no longer the correct decision, and I should. And sometimes those decisions, especially bigger ones, need to be revisited.
Yeah, one thing I learned some years ago, and it's hard to do, give up being right. As soon as you're right, you will not be related. You will not be compassionate. You just give it up.
And that's one of those ones, sometimes we got to do a few battles in the hero's cave before we can really do it. Wow. But I think that's true.
I think one of the special things I learned during the service today was from that little girl who wore the rainbow on the outside. And I think they have more to tell us, the kids.
I actually have one comment myself, and that is that it's in the hero's journey there are many characters, among them the wise mage or the person who is a mentor towards the hero. There's the person who gives the call, and sometimes I think it's difficult for us to recognize when we're not the hero, when we're not the one that's changing, but we're called to give the call or called to mentor someone.
Thank you for that. Yeah, the hero's journey is actually, if you read all about it, this is like the simplest version. Okay, there's a lot of detail. So, all right, thank you.